This political season, we're hearing from the presidential candidates as they travel around the country speaking to voters. In his stump speech, the candidate can outline his vision and agenda for the nation. Last week, President Clinton was campaigning out west. At a senior center in Sun City, Arizona, the president talked about the importance of education and continued his convention theme of building a bridge to the 21st century. Here's an extended excerpt of that speech.
We need to make sure that every classroom and every library and every school in America is hooked up to the information superhighway, to the internet, to the World Wide Web, to all these networks of information. Now, let me just say for a moment what the significance of that is. What this means is that for the first time ever in the history of the country, if we do it, children in the smallest, most isolated rural school districts in America, children in the poorest inner city school districts in America, no matter where these children are, they will have access to the same information in the same form, in the same time, at the same level of quality as children in the wealthiest school districts in the country. It has never happened before. We can do it in the next 4 years, and we should. And we should. Finally, in the next 4 years, we should truly open the doors of college education to anyone of any age who needs to go, of any age. And I propose to do the following. Number one, we ought to set as a national goal in 4 years, we'll make at least a community college degree as universal in America as a high school diploma is today. How? Almost every American is within driving distance of a community college, and those places work. They're open, they're flexible, they're results-oriented, they're democratic, small d, that is, they're open to everybody. They work the way America ought to work more. And all we have to do to make community college available to everybody is to say to people, if you will go, we'll give you a tax credit of up to $1,500 a year for the tuition, which will cover the typical tuition cost throughout the country. Second, we should give a tax deduction of up to $10,000 a year for the cost of any education after high school, so we can encourage people to go forward, encourage parents and grandparents to help their children and grandchildren go to college. The third thing I want to do is to recognize that a lot of adults need more education as well, and that we have 70 at least different programs in the federal government that have developed for the best of reasons over time. But, you know, you need a slide rule to figure out whether you qualify for them. And what I want to do is to say to someone, if you qualify for federal educational help because you have lost your job or because you are grossly underemployed, instead of these 70 different programs you have to figure out, I want to put all that money in one pot and give a skills grant worth up to $2,500 a year to people and say, take it to your local community college. Take it wherever it's best for you, but here it is. Go get an education so you can go up, not down, on the job scale if you lose your job. Will you help me build that kind of bridge to the 21st century? I need your help. I think we should promote more home ownership. Our Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Henry Cisneros, has worked hard, and we have cut the average closing costs for first-time homebuyers by nearly $1,000. We have a 15-year high in home ownership, but I want this to be within reach of every American. We have lots of initiatives to do that, but one of the things that I think we should do is to change the law so that people simply do not have to pay taxes when they sell their home, even if it appreciates in value, up to $500,000. I think we should do that. And finally, let me say, if we want to have opportunity, we've got to keep this economy going. And that means that we have to continue to finish the work to balance the budget, but we have to do it in the right way. And I want to talk a little about that. There's been a huge debate about that, you know, in the last 2 years since our friends in the other party won the Congress. And as you can see from outside, that they're a little sensitive about the fact that America didn't like their budget. But let's talk about it. We do have to balance the budget. Why? Well, one thing that our Republican friends said last year that I agree with is, they said last year, not this year, but last year they said, if we're not on a path to balancing the budget, interest rates will be 2% higher. I agree with that. Now, what does that mean? That means you just figure it out for yourselves. That means 2% on your car payment, your credit card payment, your home payment. Even more important for the overall health of the economy, it means 2% on those loans that business people need to take out to start those new businesses or to expand the businesses. And keep in mind, we've had 4 years in a row of record formation of small business, but that's where most of the new jobs are coming from. So we do need to go on and balance the budget. So the question is how? And that's what we're revisiting in this election. The budget I vetoed that the Congress passed, I vetoed not because I didn't want to balance the budget, but because I thought it was wrong to basically end Medicaid's 30-year guarantee of health care to poor women and little babies, to end the 30-year guarantee of health coverage to middle-class families who had members with disabilities, where they were struggling to take care of those people in their own homes and go to work every day. Wrong to end the guarantee of those who had very limited incomes and needed that help if they had to be in nursing homes. I thought it was wrong to create a two-tier Medicare system, which said to people, if you're unfortunate enough to be older, poorer, and sicker than most other seniors, you could well get second-class care. I thought it was wrong not to keep up with inflation and population growth in Medicare and instead to have real cuts that were going to force people to make payments out of pocket, designed to fund a budget system that had an enormous tax cut that went to people like me, and I didn't need it. I thought that was wrong. I don't apologize for that. I still think it was wrong. I still think it was wrong. I thought it was wrong. I thought it was wrong for us to be cutting the Safe and Drug-Free Schools law, to be abolishing AmeriCorps, to be turning our back on our commitments to put 100,000 police on the street, to pass a budget that would have raised taxes on 9 million of our poorest working people, actually raised taxes on them. I thought it was wrong to allow a raid on the pension funds in America of nearly $15 billion. We went through that pension collapse just a few years ago. Are we going to go back and make that mistake all over again? I thought that was wrong. So I plead guilty. I vetoed it, and I do so again because I thought it was wrong. But that does not mean, again, that does not mean that we should not balance the budget. It does not mean that we don't have to have some savings in Medicare to stabilize the program so it's going to be there not just next year, but 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now for all who need it. But the changes should be made by someone who believes in Medicare and believes it served our country well, not someone who doesn't care whether it exists or not.
President Clinton campaigning last week in Sun City, Arizona.